Hear the words of your Savior. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. This chapter is all about the Good Shepherd, our Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows his sheep. He calls them by name. He lays down his life for them and takes it back up for them. He leads his sheep in every good way. He keeps his sheep safe and secure in the sheepfold called his church, so that no one and nothing can snatch his sheep out of his strong and loving hands. What good news. At the same time, this chapter is all about the fact that people will try to steal his sheep and snatch them out of his hands. And that's why this chapter, John chapter 10, talks just as much about false shepherds as it does about the good shepherd. Main point, discernment. Discernment, knowing the difference, is what this chapter offers, and I hope that's what we find as we work our way through the chapter together. Now, today, I've only read the first six verses because that's all we're going to cover, and we'll do that through six main points. Number one today is this: God's church is the sheepfold. God's church is the sheepfold. Look at verse 1 with me. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. I mean, Jesus gets right to the warning here about thieves and robbers sneaking into the church. But let's focus on the positive point here, the assumption that's made, and it's this. God has established in this dangerous world a safe place for his sheep to graze, a safe place in this dangerous world, and it's called the sheepfold. Now, the people in Jesus' day were far more familiar with sheepfolds than we are nowadays, living in more urban areas, but let me explain it quickly, what he had in mind here. There were a couple different kinds of sheepfold in Jesus' day. Many lived in the country, and they had their own personal sheepfold. They had a fenced-in pen, or they had a cave where they would keep their sheep at night, send out their youngest, like David, to watch after them, but it's not the illustration here. People that lived closer to town or in town had a communal sheepfold. It was a shared sheepfold, a place large enough to accompany many different flocks, and the shepherds would drop off their sheep there at night and entrust them into the hands of a paid attendant. It was very much like the modern parking garages. You drop off what's valuable to you and trust that somebody's going to take care of it until you come back the next day. So that's what we're looking at here. It's a shared sheepfold, a fenced-in area with a wall, and a person who sat at the gate and took care of everything overnight. And that's the analogy here, the illustration of the church. God has a walled-in area in this dangerous world, and it's called the church. It was designed by God and established by God and built by God so that God's sheep could have a safe place to rest. This is a very common theme in Scripture, so I'm not going to belabor the point. And God's people throughout Scripture have always loved being led into the sheepfold so that they could rest and be fed by their good shepherd. A couple of examples here. One example, Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." You see, a safe place, a peaceful place for the sheep to assemble together. What's so peaceful about it? The last page of the Bible gives us some glimpse as to what's outside the fence. Revelation 22:15, outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. That's what's outside, so isn't it good to be inside? And that's the first point here. It's a simple one. God has given us in this dangerous world a safe place to call our own, a safe place to rest and to be restored spiritually. It's called the church. And the fact that you're in church today proves to me that you know somewhat what I'm talking about. You've chosen to come to the safe place and find rest for your souls. Application, simple. Thank God for this and praise God for this. Thank God that there is one place in this world where you can go and not be touched by worldliness and not be surrounded by worldlings. It's a great and powerful blessing. It's the sheepfold. And it's such a wonderfully positive thing that our Savior here paints in our minds for us. But that being a positive point, we have to keep in mind the main purpose here. He shows us this that we might have discernment and make sure that we're in a safe place and that we're listening for his voice. Because here's the thing. While God designed his sheepfold to be a safe place, it's not always so. And Jesus wants us to think about that. God's enemies sneak in over the wall like wolves in order to devour the sheep. Verily, verily, Jesus says to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. Point number two, then, beware of false shepherds, my friends. Beware of false shepherds. The Pharisees were false shepherds, and Jesus is here exposing them as such. We have to keep in mind the context. Chapter divisions were not inspired by the Holy Spirit, so everything here is connected. The Pharisees were in charge of the sheepfold in Jesus' day. And if you remember what we considered in our previous sermons, they had just excommunicated the man who had been born blind. Why? Because he met Jesus and came to love Jesus. So what did Jesus think about that? Being put out of the church by the shepherds. What did he have to say about it? We'd already read it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. There is such a thing, my friends, as false shepherds. And while the Bible teaches many things about them, it's remarkable how many times this topic comes up in Scripture. Jesus is here only emphasizing two things, so I'll keep the preaching limited to that. Two things here: they sneak into the church and they try to steal Christ's sheep. They sneak into the church. How does a person get admitted into the sheepfold? How do they come to be part of this thing called the church? And you know this, I trust. You can only come in through the appointed shepherd, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He himself actually is the door, not only the one who stands guard, but he is the door, but we'll save that for a future consideration. The main point here, though, is there are many who get into the church another way, not through Christ, not through personal repentance of sin, not through personal trusting in the Savior. They have not repented. They have not believed. They have not come in the proper way, which is all to say they get in, but they have never been converted. They are not truly the disciples of Jesus Christ. They're not Christians. And that's a bad enough thought, to think that people get into the church who haven't been converted. But that's not even the main point here. The main point here is there are shepherds. There are pastors who sneak in another way. There is such a thing. Nobody talks about it anymore. It's the great secret. There is such a thing as an unconverted ministry and unconverted pastors. And I know it's hard to hear. It's hard to imagine, right? After all, they wear the robe, they wear the collar, they say all the churchy things on Sunday morning, they stand in the pulpit, they teach the Bible. But they're not converted. They're not converted. Unconverted men, unconverted, I have to say it, women, who snuck in another way. They're nothing but thieves and robbers. Here's a question. Well, why would an unconverted person want to sneak into the church? Out of all the places, I mean, church isn't even always comfortable for me, so why would an unconverted person want to get into the church? Why do they sneak in? Well, we consider they sneak in. That's the first thing Jesus wants us to know. But the second thing is their motive. They want to steal Christ's sheep. They want to steal you away from your Savior. That's why Jesus calls them thieves and robbers. And there is a distinction there. Thieves are just sneaky. They try to take what doesn't belong to them when nobody else notices. Robbers are violent. They just mug you and take what they want. But here's what they both have in common. They both want what's not theirs. And we're talking about Christ's sheep. They belong to no one else. And I know this point kind of spoils the positive blessedness of my first point. There's a safe place called the church, and then we find out, well, it's not as safe as it's supposed to be, is it? No, it's not. We have to beware, and that's why this verse is in the Bible. It's the intent of the warning, and we have to take it seriously. So I'll just say it. Be aware of this. Beware that there is such a thing as an unconverted ministry. There are false shepherds. And it's not just me saying this is important. I mean, Jesus says this with such intensity, such earnestness. It's a double verily. Verily, verily, I say to you. He wants us to pay attention and be convinced so that we would be very cautious as we attend churches. At the same time, don't like panic and freak out and give up all hope and say, well, then we're just going to have church in our living room next week because who knows who can be trusted. If you're one of Christ's sheep, don't worry. Everything will be fine. Everything is perfectly fine. Not because of you, but because of your good shepherd. And I want to talk at length about that today. So here's some good news, number three. Jesus is the good shepherd. He will claim this title. He'll just say, I am the good shepherd. He does that in verse 11, but here at the beginning, he shows himself to be the good shepherd in a few different ways. Consider first his credentials. His credentials. Verse 2, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He didn't sneak over the wall. He came in by the door. He didn't sneak in by night. He came in the way God ordained and the way the scriptures predicted. Think of some of these things. He's properly born of the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49, verse 10. He's a descendant of David's royal line, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. He was born of a virgin, just as was foretold, Isaiah 7, verse 14. He's born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, Micah 5, verse 2. His credentials are perfect. He came in through the appointed, the announced way. And then we read in verse 3, the result of this, the doorkeeper opens. He's allowed in. He's entrusted with the sheep because he came properly. He had the right credentials. He entered his office properly. But consider also this, his credentials, but also his call. His call. Less theoretical point. Verse 3, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. This is one of the things I love most about shepherding. I'm not a shepherd, but I've read about it. Actually, I am a shepherd, but not this kind. Sheep are not the smartest animals in the world, but they know this much. They know their shepherd. They know his voice. They recognize his voice, and all shepherds will have a sometimes quirky call that they sound forth, and every one of his sheep knows exactly what that means, and they follow. From what I read, what happened in the communal sheepfold near Jerusalem was a very remarkable thing. Every morning, all these hundreds of animals, and then the shepherds show up for a day of work. Each one of them issues a call. You know, some say, yip, yip, and others say, hey, let's go. And every one of them hears their shepherd's voice, and a great separation occurs. No matter how mixed up they were the night before and how mingled those flocks were, when they heard their shepherd's voice, they self-segregated and they went to their personal shepherd. It's a beautiful thing. That's how the gospel works, my friends. It's how it works today. Jesus knows his sheep. He knows them, as it says here, by name. And did you know that, by the way? You need to know that. We don't believe in this program, what is it? It's like a program or a system or a plan of salvation. No, it's not. Jesus knows each one of his sheep by name. He knows you by your name. He paid for your sins on the cross. He carried your sins attached to your name. He paid for them all, and he said it is finished for you by name. He makes intercession for you by name in heaven today. Jesus is a personal shepherd who personally knows every one of his personal sheep by their personal name. Jesus knows me, my name. And that should fill our hearts with gospel comfort. He not only knows our name, but he calls us by name with a distinct call that only his sheep recognize. And they come. They come. So his credentials are perfect. His call is perfect. Also this, his leading. Verse 4. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Here in the Western world, we drive our livestock, but that's not the way it was in Jesus' day. There was no whip. There were no dogs. The shepherd called. He led the way, and his sheep followed. Application, maybe even a challenge. Does this describe your life and your experience of the gospel? Does Jesus know you by name? Has he called you by your name? Have you heard his call? Have you followed him? Well, I think so, Pastor, but how can I know for sure? I know that's the question. It's simple. Are you following him today? Are you doing your part of the Great Commission? Forget about the world. Are you learning to obey everything that he has commanded? And as you learn about those things, are you walking in the path of his holy commandments? Are you walking behind your Savior? Here's another test, seeing that this chapter is all about discernment. As you're listening to Christian radio or watching the preachers on the television, I don't know if they still have it, they probably do. As you're hearing these things, do red flags pop up in your mind? Or at very least, yellow flags, cautionary flags, do they pop up in your mind when you're maybe even a more risky application? When you were sitting, think back, when you were sitting in the pews of your previous church, trying your best to listen to your pastor and give him the benefit of the doubt and honor him as the fifth commandment requires you to do, did you ever think, you know, something just doesn't quite sound right here? Something's missing. Something's amiss. I know it sounds very uncharitable to talk that way, but that's why these verses are in the Bible. My friends, it's their purpose, and we need to talk honestly about it. It's called discernment, and the sheep need discernment. So let's move on to point number 4. Sheep need discernment. Verse 5, they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know. They do not recognize the voice of strangers. This is part of the good news, and it is such good news. The true sheep, true Christians, will never be deceived. They will never be duped by a false shepherd, at least not ultimately, and at least not entirely. And I have to add that, because sheep can be deceived in part. Not ultimately, but sometimes temporarily, the sheep can be tricked. And here I'll tip my hat to the false shepherds, though it's painful to do so. They're very smart. They're very clever. They know how sheep work. They know how sheep think. And they know that sheep are not the brightest animals in the world. But they know what sheep know. They know their shepherd's voice. So, what the false teachers will do is learn how to mimic the voice of our good shepherd. And they get pretty good at it. I hate to tell you, but they're pretty good at it. The sheep know their shepherd's voice, and when they hear it, they think they've heard it, they follow it, because one thing they know is when I follow that voice, it always leads to green pastures, and it's always led me to still waters, so I just heard it, I'm going. They know that and they trust that, so the false shepherd will try his best to sound just like the good shepherd, mimicking his voice, quoting his sayings, talking a lot about him, trying to sound like Jesus. And the implication here is most troubling, but we have to be most honest. Some of the most dangerous shepherds in the world sound perfectly safe. I'm going to suggest a few ways that the shepherds, the false shepherds, manage this, but it won't be an exhaustive list. Some, in order to sound safe, quote the Bible incessantly during their sermons and during their lessons. They include so many proof texts in each of their sermons that you can't even keep up. You try to write down all the references that the pastor said in a particular lesson so that you can maybe check it out when you get home, and you lose your place because he is just quoting so many, I can't write them down. Why? He wants to give you this impression. Man, that man sure knows the scripture. That man knows the Bible. His mission, in part, has been accomplished. Others will quote the Bible less frequently, but when they do it with, here's another thing you got to watch for, such fervor and such enthusiasm and such energy and such conviction. And what they're doing is using their emotions to rile your emotions so that they leave the impression, whoa, this man is filled with the Spirit. Maybe he is. Maybe he's just manipulating you, bypassing your God-given brain through the weakness of your emotions. Others climb over the wall into less Bible-based churches, more liturgical churches, and they have a different tactic altogether. They just spend all of their time trying to appear as the right reverend so-and-so. And it's amazing what the right robe and the right clothes and the right title and the right formulaic liturgical sayings will do to get people's guard down. I don't want to mention any more. Those are a few examples. So those are just a few examples of how false teachers will try to pull the wool over the eyes of the sheep. There are many more examples I could offer, but it's not important because what's most important here and what's most encouraging here is this. The sheep know their shepherd's voice. So this cannot go on indefinitely. They know their shepherd's voice, and when they hear it, all the lights will go on and they will follow. That's the good news. They can't forever follow the voice of a stranger. That's the promise here, but let me get to the application. Number 5. Do you understand this? Do you understand what I'm talking about today? I'm going to state it that plainly because it's the big application. Do you understand what I'm talking about when it comes to discernment, the danger of false teachers, and knowing the voice of your good shepherd? Do you understand what I'm talking about? I ask it this plainly because verse 6 tells us not everyone will. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. It has to be acknowledged here. This illustration is not that complicated. The sheepfold and the shepherds and the sheep and the call and the thieves. It's pretty simple to understand, but not everyone will understand it. So if you do understand what I'm talking about today, I want to make sure that you feel encouraged and that you feel comforted by the gospel. You say, yeah, I understand exactly. This just happened to me last week. I was listening to this thing and some red flags were going up in my mind. And then I remembered what my Savior said in this place of Scripture. And I followed him back to that safe place. I hope you understand what I'm talking about today. You should be encouraged. You don't need to know much, but you do need to know this. The sheep of Christ know his voice. And most of you should be encouraged today because I do know most of you. And I remember when you were interviewed for membership in this church. Everybody in this room came from such a different kind of background. It makes me laugh sometimes. I mean, some were Catholics, and some were Lutherans, and some were Baptists, and some were Methodists, and some were just part of a mainline church, and some even from an Anabaptist background. You know, that's a lot of diversity, but when we sat down for interviews, for membership, I hear always this recurring thing, and I love it because it encourages me in my ministry. I hear something like this. You know, it's just some of the things we were hearing at church, they didn't seem to be measuring up to what we read in Scripture. And that can go on for a while, but it can't go on indefinitely. And to that I say, well, praise God. When you have that level of discernment, and when you can hear the differences between what one person says and what has been written, that is a glorious thing. That's the gift of discernment that Jesus gives to his sheep. They know his voice, and they can't listen for long to the voice of a stranger. You know what? And here's even better news. You might say, well, I'm not a Bible expert. I don't know everything. That's fine. You don't even need to know chapter and verse, but the true sheep will still know. Something just doesn't quite sound right here. And that's the gift of discernment, because they, as it says, do not know. They do not recognize the voice of strangers. It sounds strange to them, and that's good news. If that makes sense to you today, I'm going to invite you just to rejoice and to be comforted in the gift of discernment that Christ has given you through the ministry of his word and the ministry of his Holy Spirit who abides in your heart. That's one application, and it's a positive one. But I'm going to add another kind of application today that I don't usually include in my sermons, and I promise not to make a habit of it. But I'm going to add an application here to those who listen to our sermons on the internet and also on the radio. And it's the same application, really. Do you know what I'm talking about today? And this is also an application for those who are visiting with us, because I don't know you as well as I should. So here's your application. Do you know what I'm talking about today? Is this making sense to you? Do you know what I'm talking about when it comes to the gift of spiritual discernment? I mean, think about your own experience at your own local church. Are there things there that just don't sound quite right? If so, here's something you need to consider. And people can consider it about what they hear from me too. I don't mind. What if your shepherd is just a thief and a robber? It is a possibility, according to the scripture. And I know our reaction is always, oh, no. He couldn't be, you see, because he baptized my kids, and he always quotes the Bible, and he's such a nice guy, and he comes over to our house. He sat with us, like, for 3 days after Grandma died. I mean, he's such a great man. It's not enough. It's not enough. Has he been converted? Has he entered into the sheepfold through the gate of Christ? Has he repented of his sins and trusted in the Lord Jesus? Has he been born again? Is he regenerated by the Spirit of God? And I know we might wonder, well, how could I ever know that? I can't see into a man's heart. I don't have cardioanalytic abilities, so I can't. But yeah, you can know. If he has been converted, he'll call for people to be converted, which is just the heart of the gospel. Any man who has experienced the regenerating grace of the living God will include often in his teaching a personal call to people. You must repent of your sin. You must receive Christ as your Savior. You must trust him as your Savior. So how do I know if somebody's been converted? They will call for conversions, and people need to think about this. When's the last time I heard a pointed call to repentance and faith from the pulpit of my local church? Some will obviously say, well, I hear that every Sunday. I'm glad that you do. And if that's the case, stay in your church and support your faithful shepherd. However, and this is a big however, I know why people listen to sermons on the radio and on the internet. And I know why they listen to them a lot. It's because they're not hearing the voice of their good shepherd very often in their local church. And they don't feel that they're being fed. They don't feel that the words of God are given a first place in their local church. So they find that elsewhere. And they look for the voice. They listen for the voice of their good shepherd from other sources, because they don't want their souls to starve and shrivel up and die. And that's fine. So if that's the case with any of you or anyone who happens to be listening, here is my encouragement and my application, my urging to you. Exercise some discernment and do something about that. Exercise some discernment and do something about the famine of the words of Christ that you suffer under week by week. And I think, well, what could we possibly do? I can't do anything. It's not true. There are many things you can do. I'm going to give one example to close. It'll be my final point, and we'll just consider this a sermon illustration since I almost never give sermon illustrations. Point number six, a historical illustration. This is the month of October, and on October 31st, most Protestants, I should say many Protestants, will be remembering and even celebrating the contribution of Martin Luther to Christendom. And that's a great thing. I'm glad people do that. I'm glad people think about that. But I want to make your commemoration of his nailing of the 95 Theses to the church door at Wittenberg maybe a little more real this year. And I want to do that by simply connecting what we're reading about today to that ancient history. Martin Luther, here's something you need to know about him, was a minister. He was a minister of the word and sacrament. He was a pastor. He was a shepherd. He was an under-shepherd in the largest sheepfold of his day. It was called the Roman Catholic Church. Some of the things he saw going on there, some of the things he heard being taught there, well, it just didn't sound quite right. And you know what that was? That was the Good Shepherd speaking to his soul and speaking to his heart. That was the Holy Spirit stirring up discernment in the man's mind and heart. And that was the Spirit and the Word calling for discernment to be exercised in his life. I'm not going to recount the whole story because most of you know it, but Martin Luther decided to do something about it. He just started asking questions and asking his shepherds why this didn't accord with Scripture and why that didn't sound like what St. Paul said and why that didn't sound like what Jesus commanded us to do. Why all the discrepancies? Why does everything seem to be out of accord with the Holy Bible? You know, and they were willing to hear about it. The Scriptures were opened. Debates ensued. And through the pages of Scripture, Martin Luther heard the Good Shepherd's voice. And after that, and this is how it always works, he could never follow a stranger again. False shepherds of Luther's day tried their best to get him back into line. You know that. And this is where Martin Luther and the man who had been born blind, well, they had a lot in common. They were both ridiculed. They were both mocked. They were both attacked. They were both slandered. They were both brought into church courts and tried by their peers and their superiors. They were both banished from the sheepfold that they grew up in, put out, excommunicated. But back to the good news. Here's something else they had in common. Martin Luther and the man who had been born blind. All the thieves in this world, and all the robbers in this world, and all the false shepherds in this world could never steal them from the hands of their good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. They found the grace to hear their shepherd's voice, and they would never follow the voice of a stranger ever again, even if it meant their death. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He calls his own sheep by name. He leads them out. Have you heard his voice, my friends? And will you follow it? Amen.